not ours. We can make whatever we want out of church. Ons kan lekker sing, ons kan die Here ongelooflik dien in al die bedienings wat hier in die kerk is, and we can have wonderful experiences. But if it's not about him, then we're doing it for nothing. So I just want to share a little bit around that this morning, and I want to add on to what Pastor Kobus shared last week, and I want to look specifically at our role in the church, what God has called us to. Pastor Heinrich Titus' brother shared about that a couple of months ago as well, about what our role is in the congregation and what God has called us to do in order to support the ministry here. And Kobus shared about Joshua a little bit, about going into the promised land and Moses sending him off. And I just had a strong sense to have a look at the role or the ministry of an armor bearer. And I just, for the right reasons, love ChatGPT, because it came up with this amazing image. Isn't that an incredible image? Where we've got Jonathan standing there, ready to go into battle against the Philistines, with his older, normally dressed, wise-looking, and very responsible armor bearer. And that painted such an incredible picture for me, because if you look at the role of an armor bearer, how many of you know what an armor bearer does? I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? But what's the role of an armor bearer in the Old Testament picture like you see there? It takes a little bit of the weight off the leader, the soldier, the king, okay? Comes alongside him and helps him and is an incredible encouragement to him. In the Word of God, we see so many references to the armor bearer. But what I want to do is just look at this one passage of Scripture. It's a little bit long, but I'll read through it quite quickly. It's on three slides, I think. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. 15. If you wouldn't mind reading through with me this morning, because there's such incredible jewels that comes out of this in terms of what you, your and my role is in the church. But not just in the church, because this doesn't just apply to ministry. This also applies to marriages. It applies to relationships, applies to family, applies to our jobs. Applies to everything that we are involved in life. There is a huge degree of one thing, and that's called servanthood. Okay, so we're going to look at that in essence this morning. Let's catch a read. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we'll cross over towards them and let them see us." Laat hulle sien dat ons is nie hier net sommer nie. Okay? "If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' we'll climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Well, they're hiding. The holes that they are hiding in. "The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, 'Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson.' So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel.' Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Two men, 20 men, half an acre. Get the picture. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was panic sent by God. Wow. Isn't that an awesome passage? Isn't that a picture and a half for you this morning? That here we have the king, the leader, and his armor bearer that goes out, the army somewhere else, and they face this garrison of 20 men. And the words that the armor bearer spoke to Jonathan speaks 1,000 words into the hearts of us as believers today. You see, you and I have been given special talents. Each and every one of you sitting here this morning, you've got something to give. Say to your neighbor, you've got something to give. Because you have. God has put spiritual gifts within you that will allow you to operate in the body of Christ in a very prolific and beautiful way. You see, if you think about it, the church is the bearer of the greatest armor in the battle that we fight daily against Satan. And that's love. Why? Because we all need one another. None of you can go through what you go through on a daily basis alone. You need God's love to be fueled within you, and you need God's people to come alongside you and to love you and to encourage you. You see, every member, and we all know the scripture in Ephesians and in Galatians well about every member must be a vital part of the ministry. And here in Shofar Brackenfell, it's no different. Because we need to pick up the armor of our leaders and those in ministry positions around us by walking in love towards them and to encourage one another to do the same. It's so easy to come to church week after week. And yes, we receive from God, and it's beautiful to worship, and it's wonderful to just have a quick chat to the pastor and to meet up with our small group and our small group leaders. But is that enough? God has called you to do so much more and to be so much more. So I have one point, and it's all-encompassing, and it's this. The church is a body in a fight. Say to your neighbor, we're in a fight. Come on. Paul says that we are all members but one body. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 5. Because this is the epitome of what I believe God wants us to do in our roles as sons and daughters of the living God here in the body of Christ in Brackenfell. As a shofar, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. How many of you believe that you've all been called? If you're saved, you've been called. How many of you believe that you are in the ministry? Hello? Okay. If you have a position of authority or have a position of service in the body of Christ, you're in the ministry. But even if you're not, you're still in the ministry as an armor bearer. You see, the armor bearer position, if you want to call it that, it's not a position, if you think about it. It's not an appointment. It's an attitude. Because if you come to church or you're at home with your family, the attitude of your heart will determine the degree to which you can serve, undergird, and support the person that you are following in that realm. Wow, that's so powerful. Be completely humble and gentle. It doesn't say be humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. Not just a plain picky humble, and like I'll be gentle today with you, but tomorrow. Okay? Be patient. That fruit of the Spirit is something that we all battle with somewhere along the line, don't we? Bearing with one another in love. It doesn't just say, ach man, just bear with me. No, bear with me in love. That's a whole new picture. You can bear with somebody, but if you don't bear with them in love, you're not bearing with them. Come on. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to stay in unity as a body of Christ through the bond of peace. I don't think anyone has have intentions of fighting with each other. The intention of our hearts is to walk upright in love and humility one to another, although it's never easy. Okay? There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called out of darkness into His wonderful light. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You know, when I look at this, Paul carries on to say that we are to endeavor to keep the unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay, what does endeavor mean? Anyone want to give me a good definition of the word endeavor? It's a lovely word to throw. I'm really endeavoring this difficulty I'm going through right now. Or, you know, I'm just going to endeavor through this week and after that it's going to be fine. Do you know what it is? It's a concerted effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. And the only way we can do that is to be like-minded in our ministry. To be on the same page in terms of what God wants to do in and through Shofar Brackenfeld. In and through your life at work. In and through your appointment and your anointing as a spouse or as a child or as a father or as a mother. So, the bottom line is we are a church that is in a fight, okay? How many of you know that trying to keep unity is almost impossible? Okay. How many of you tried hard to keep unity with a colleague you don't like at work? How many of you tried hard to... the pastor, I pray all that we it looks like he's just gunning for me. Or, you know, I don't quite know if I fit in. And we hear all these kinds of comments, okay? But the bottom line is, spiritual warfare is part of our everyday lives. That's the fight we're in. We're not in a physical one. We're in a spiritual one. And when we look at the Old Testament, you all agree with me. You go and read from Exodus all the way through the Old Testament. There's one thing that there was a lot of going on, and that was physical warfare. With God's people, with other peoples. All over the show, we just see one that there were the Abimelechs, the Amaleks, the Philistines, the... I don't know what kind of other steins there were, but there were lots, okay? The change now is that our battle that we are raging is in the spiritual realm. Spiritual warfare is real. And the truth is that the average Christian doesn't really know all the warring that is taking place in the heavenlies. Have you ever thought of that? Just... how many battles are being fought over you every single day? From when you were a youngster, those nightmares that you had and those horrible visions sometimes that shook you and horrible things that used to happen to you. That is why the Word teaches us in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we can stand against the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Paul is telling us that we are to put on protection, and that protection is God's armor, because it's a fight. Remind your neighbor, you're still in a fight. Come on. I have a very dear friend. I think he's even watching the preach this morning. My friend Mark is a dear friend, and we've known each other for a great number of years, and we met. We were fishing friends, and we met. I don't know if you remember Pastor Quibus mentioned last year. This time, that we bumped into each other at Didam, and I was on a fishing trip with Mark, and he came, and Mark didn't know the Lord, but man, I've been one of those gentle nudges and pushes in his life over all the years when he's had his issues. My daughter Laura knows as well. Mark used to fall in a heap, and he used to really battle, and we just loved him. We were there with him. And Quibus came along, and we were sitting at this place, and we were brying, and it was such a joy for Quibus to share with him the gospel. And I then led him to the Lord that evening, and the next morning he got baptized. And it was a glorious moment to see my friend Mark, with all his battles and all his demons and all his issues, okay, coming to know Jesus. And he shared with me recently, he said, Peter, you don't know what the spiritual battle was raging in my life since I was 6 years old. And he shared with me some instances of actual encounters with spiritual forces, and just how difficult it was for him to gain any sense of peace. And he says that battle increased the moment he got baptized. Today, he's gone through the most incredible transition in his life. God has delivered him from alcohol. God has changed and turned his life around so tangibly that it makes my heart so glad. And so I rejoice every single time I see Mark, because that is a living example of how God can change the lives of people and how spiritual warfare can overcome the plans of the evil one in our lives. Man, I'm telling you, I rejoice every time I remember just how wonderful God's love is. Just overwhelming when you just love on somebody and you're there for them. I asked him, just what was the one thing that all the armor bearers around you, your friends, myself, or what was the difference? And all he said was the overwhelming acceptance and love that I felt. Not judgment, not condemnation, but just overwhelming love and acceptance. Shofar Brackenfell, that's what God has called us to do. In overwhelming way, to love, accept, walk with, not to judge, not to point fingers, but to come alongside and say, how can I carry your armor for you today? How can I help you? Moses had Joshua as his armor bearer. And Joshua even followed him through his whole, they had a big argument because he didn't agree with the way Moses handled all the grumblers. Remember the Israelites moaned and complained and grumbled all the time? Joshua didn't believe in that. He said, no, you've got to sort them out, Moses. But yet he supported Moses through that. He walked with him and he was loyal to him. So what was the role of the armor bearer in the Old Testament? Let's have a look quickly at that slide. So they protected and guarded the king. They were a servant and a friend to the king. They were loyal and committed unto death. They were courageous and fearless in the battle. Armor bearers were handpicked among the warriors, and they picked the men of valor and those who were courageous. You don't want a half-hearted warrior protecting the king, do you? You don't want somebody who's going to panic in the midst of the battle and run away and flee when the going gets tough and things are not going your way. You know, it's funny, church, you know, when things don't go our way in church and things kind of don't resonate so well with us because somebody had said something offensive or you just don't like what you've seen in something, it's so easy for us just to disappear or to say, no, let's go find another church or let me just relook at my life. You know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Not true. And we've got to be careful with the words that we speak to and over other people. You see, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, not throwing. But so easily we throw back accusations, or we throw back our judgment, and we throw back the things that we feel is right. Life is not about right and wrong. It's about the attitudes of our heart, people. That's all that matters. John 15, verse 13, no greater love hath any man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Are you prepared to stand in the gap in this church for your leaders, in your marriages, at work, when you don't believe in your boss and what he's doing, but sometimes you've got to get behind him because God has put him there, and your role is just to support and to walk with and to pray for? If you look at some of the armor bearers, I just want to pull out one, and that's Jonathan. We read about him earlier. Let's look at Jonathan's armor bearer and pull out those gems that we read. After Jonathan said, we are at war and we are going to take the land despite the attack against them, his armor bearer said, I'm all in. His armor bearer said, I am all in. Do what is in your heart. Do as you decide. For I am with you in heart and in soul. We don't just serve God half-heartedly. We don't just come for the sake of serving, because that's what we do in the church. You don't come and pick up something because, oh, it's just a nice thing, I have to get involved in the church. No, you do it because you are heart and soul in the vision and the ministry of the church. And I love that, because when his armor bearer said, do what is in your heart, do as you decide, for I am with you. Irrespective of how things go down in battle, Jonathan's armor bearer stood right next to him in the heat of the battle. In the heat of the battle, in your marriage, here in church, when things don't go so lacquer, and we can see, man, our pastor's being really attacked, or things are not going as well as they should. Where are you? Are you right here in the midst of the battle, holding up the armor and coming alongside? I love this. Jonathan included his armor bearer in his vision and his mission. Pastor Kubis and Lorette have shared the heart of Shofar Brackenfell with us. We need to come alongside them and walk that road with them. They've shared their hearts with us. We need to help protect their hearts when that spiritual battle rages. Jonathan's armor bearer followed him into battle. Didn't stand at a distance. He followed him. Said, I'm ready to go in with you. When Pastor Kubis puts up his, asks you to put up your hand for ministry, or when Willie says, hey guys, we need you there at the camp. Why don't you put up your hand? Why don't you look deep within and say, man, this is something that I can do. I'm prepared to follow because God wants me to be an integral part of the vision and the mission of our church. But here's the most important thing that I take out of all of this. Anywhere in Scripture, do you read about his name? Wat was die seun se naam? You don't read about his name. You see, he's unnamed. How many of us are looking to maybe make a name for ourselves in church, or aspire to a leadership position and say, I'm more qualified than he is. Why aren't I an elder? Why aren't I involved in this ministry? You see, God has actually called you to bear armor in the church. He's called you to follow a vision and a direction that he has called you to do. Don't need a name for that. So what do we learn out of this? The armor bearer has Jonathan's back. He was in essence saying, you called to lead and I'm called to follow. How does that sound to you as an employee or as a spouse? But in the kingdom, God is trying to put together an army. And there has to be rank and there has to be order. God is, after all, a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And God knows what he's doing when he puts people in positions here in the church. There has to be a point where we are all willing to submit and to follow a vision and a direction that God is trying to take us in. And I want you to notice in that passage of Scripture, Jonathan as the leader, he's killing these Philistines left and right. And the armor bearer is right there beside him, covering his back. Didn't say his armor bearer was in front of him. His armor bearer was behind him. See, there's a biblical principle of watching, caring for one another and our leaders. Let's be really honest here. When Satan tries to attack our leaders from the front, it's actually easy because we can see what's going on. But the truth is most leaders are being attacked from the rear. Hello? Most of the attack doesn't come from the front where we can see clearly, oh, this is what we've got to pray through or whatever. The three things that a leader cannot win against, because it comes from the back, is criticism, murmuring and complaining, and accusations. I know we don't like to hear that, but every time a man of God hears or has a vision and a direction from God and he gets excited about what God wants to do, criticism circles to the rear and attacks. Murmuring and complaining circles to the rear and attacks when things don't go our way in church, and accusations circle to the rear and attacks. Why do these things happen? Because we are in a battle. Because we are raging spiritual warfare. And so we need a New Testament church that has armor bearers that will be aware of, that they will protect and squash these things that try to attack from the rear. You see, people, when we're in unity, those things don't happen. When we are like-minded, those things don't happen. Because when they do happen, we squash them very quickly and say, no, kom ons praat die oor. Now, don't pick that up in your heart or in your spirit. Come on, let's work through this together. I love you. You love this church. You love your spouse. I know you're having battles, but don't just make decisions. Okay? Let's walk this road together in unity and in love. Let's embrace love as the biggest part of weaponry that could ever be fought in spiritual warfare, and that's love. You see, because the devil cannot handle love. The Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. What the word devour means? Okay? He wants to swallow you up. Why? Because he's got no teeth. Because Jesus smacked the teeth out 2,000 years ago in Calvary. Come on, church. He's rendered effective. He's not effective at all. But what does he do? He deceives you. He tries to get you to believe things that are not. And that's empty. There's no substance in that. The only substance is that God has called us to love one another. God has called us to stand behind the leaders that he's appointed. God has called us to trust in him and not to be afraid. Not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge that he's doing something incredibly, incredibly beautiful in our church. But the truth is, he needs you to be an armor bearer. You don't need a position for that. But at the same time, I want to encourage you, get involved in the ministry here. God is calling you with all your wonderful gifts and talents to be a part of what he's doing here in Shofar Brackenfell. And in conclusion, if we can put up the last slide. This really applies to the kind of New Testament armor bearers that we need to be today. You see that image is also so cool. So what do New Testament armor bearers look like? They're the leaders. They are with the leaders in fighting the spiritual battle. They're available and take up their position through being sensitive to the needs of others and being approachable and kind and friendly. When people walk through the doors and they see the kind of people that are in Shofar Brackenfell, hulle wil hier wees. Because they need to be loved and cared for. They need to be looked out for. They need to be encouraged. You look at the role that Barnabas played in Paul's life. He was called the son of encouragement. How many Barnabases do we have in our church? They are equally concerned with the leader's honor by being willing to serve alongside them. They submit to and obey the leadership authority, and they respect the leadership and are with them even unto death. That's what Jonathan's armor bearer said. I'm in it for the long haul. Question to you this morning, are you in it for the long haul? When things don't go so lucky in your life, find somebody that you can trust and walk with and let them help carry the burdens with you as they pray over you. The intercessory ministry is probably one of the greatest examples of being an armor bearer. I look at Johannes and I shake my head sometimes because, man, that man's got a lot on his plate. But his plate's very manageable because it is filled with prayer. He's filled with an intercessory heart of giving, of praying over, of undergirding. And that's what we need more and more in the church. And the last one is to protect the leader from rear attacks. One of the biggest things that kills ministry, that really wreaks havoc is when people don't speak enough life over others, and we criticize and point fingers more than anything else. And I know this might sound a bit heavy, but I just want to challenge you this morning. Has God called us as armor bearers, okay, to be armor bearers or pall bearers? Think a little bit about that. It's funny. But God's called you to stand alongside, to undergird, to be that Aaron and that Ur to your Moses. Is to be there in love and in honor, and to say, I'm going to speak life. I'm not going to do things that are going to cause things to die in your life and to cause negativity and hurt. We've got an amazing pastoral couple in Kubis and Lorette. We have amazing elders that are undergirding them. Got an amazing congregation that's got gifts and talents to make this church an incredible body of ministry. But we cannot do that without you coming alongside and being the armor bearer that God wants you to be. Won't you step up this morning just in your thinking and forget about whether you've been in this church for a week or 10 years. It doesn't matter, you know, wherever you are, wherever you've been. God wants to use you. God wants to use you mightily. And the best way is just to come alongside, is to say, I'm willing to pick up this battle. I'm willing to stand headstrong together with leadership. And we're going to get somewhere. Somewhere glorious. Somewhere beautiful.